Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Well, today I want to talk to you about burning the midnight oil. I want to set it up. What do I mean by burning the midnight oil? I'm talking about working hard and sometimes working late. Sometimes just realizing that you may not get another chance to do something. You know, we need to do what we can while we can. We need to tell people about Jesus, for example, especially if we encounter an opportunity and we think that we may not get that opportunity again. We're going to follow the Apostle Paul this morning, and we're going to be going in just a moment to Acts chapter 20. But let me set this up first, okay? By the time we get to Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, he's about 51 or 52 years old. He's been saved for about 20 years. He's gone on a lot of missionary journeys. He's been to a lot of cities. And, you know, you ever wonder what the Apostle Paul looked like? I do. I wonder often what he looked like. I would like to see him ministering. I imagine because having read what the Bible provides for us as a portion of his life story, we know that in many cities that he went to, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to this city, that he was beaten, that he was drug out of town, that he was stoned, you know, that not stoned on drugs, but he was, stoned with real rocks. That he was persecuted. He prayed for this thorn in his flesh, for God to remove it. But God said, "My grace is sufficient." And evidently it was additional hardships to his life. Can you imagine how he must have walked or how he must have looked? Listen, those stones hitting even a Christian body, they gonna hurt. You know, I don't know how he got around. He walked so many places, and it had to be difficult. He had to be pressing through pain. He was put in stocks. He was stripped naked in public. He was humiliated. All of the friends that he had as a young man when he was successful, they all left him and forsook him. He was mentally and emotionally and physically and socially abused. He went through as much abuse as anyone I know. And he was not at the end of his journey at this time. He would live another decade, much of it in prison, you know, some of it being beaten. He was thrown into dungeons, naked and beaten, and, you know, mobs kicking him and punching him. You know, he must have, you know, I mean, he really paid a price. But you see, Jesus, after Paul had been born again on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to Paul. And as we understand, in this face-to-face encounter, Jesus discipled this apostle as a man born out of time. He did not get the opportunity to walk around with James and John and Nathanael and Bartholomew and Judas and hear all these things. And so we know that the Lord himself spoke directly with Paul and taught him and gave him a commission. Jesus gave him a commission to carry the gospel, the saving grace of God, to the Gentile nations. And he would write in Romans, the first chapter, he would write in verse 16 that "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's what kept getting him in trouble. He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Wow. He was convinced, convicted. Even though he met opposition after opposition after opposition, people would follow him around from city to city to persecute him and to prosecute him and to tear him down and destroy his reputation. He was wrongfully imprisoned, falsely accused, and illegally beaten. It wasn't easy. It wasn't a walk in the park. But yet he held this conviction that without Jesus Christ, men would go out to an eternity of darkness and torment. He believed it. He heard it from Jesus himself, and this compelled him. He said, I have determined not to argue. I'll paraphrase this. I have determined not to argue about lesser things. He did not discuss politics. He did not discuss positions and petty problems. He said, I have determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was one of the most, in fact, I believe he was the most educated disciple of Christ in that period of time. He knew more. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the Bible that ever lived. And then, being born again, he had a one-on-one audience with Jesus. This man knew so much. And then he had 20 years of experience in seeing lives changed and seeing cities transformed and seeing people both accept and reject the gospel. And this man suffered quite a lot, you know, and yet he was on a mission. He was a man with a mission. And the message was worth his life. He was a man on a mission. He knew what God needed, and he just wanted with everything he had to meet that need. It's a wonder he kept going, you know, but he did. Don't you know he had a lot to say? God gave him the mantle and the mission of telling people about sanctification, about redemption, about the doctrines of faith and grace, and he just stood strong. But it was tough. So he's in his early 50s, and he feels compelled to take the gospel back to Jerusalem. He was in Greece. He had just been in Corinth. He had just written the book of Romans from Corinth. He stayed in Greece about 3 months on that trip. And he's on his way to Jerusalem now. He wants to be there by the Feast of Pentecost. He has an appointment with God's plan in Jerusalem. And so he's making his journey back. He sails across the Aegean Sea and he lands at a city called Troas. Some of you have been there with me. Troas, Troy. The old, it moved from Troy, you know. I baptized some of you in the Aegean Sea right there at that spot, I think. Yeah, you're one, yeah. And here at Troas, it's on the upper west coast of Turkey, and he's with some companions, one of which is Luke, the guy that wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, but also wrote the book of Acts. Luke is with him, okay? Luke traveled with him. Luke was a Gentile physician that traveled with the Apostle Paul on some of his missionary journeys. And so Luke is with him now. And so we get a first-hand written record from Luke of what takes place here in Acts chapter 20. Have you found it? OK. Okay. Acts 20. On the first day of the week, that's a Sunday. On Sunday, and it was most likely in the evening, because that is generally when the church would meet, is in a Sunday evening, and they would meet to break bread together, to eat the Lord's Supper, as they called it, to break bread together. It was a very integral part of their Sunday morning worship, fellowship and breaking of bread together, praying together and hearing the word. Those are the four things Acts 2:42 tells us that the church continually did. They continued in the word of God. They continued in prayer. They made sure that they fellowshipped, that they gathered together, and that they broke bread together. Very important aspects of our Christian experience as we too are growing the body of Christ. And so on the first day of the week, we gathered, Luke is writing here, with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. I'll try to finish before then. But he had something to say, and it was worth his life, and he was not ashamed of it. The upstairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering lamps. As Paul spoke on and on, sometimes you guys probably feel that's what us preachers do. They just keep speaking on and on and on. Well, that was Luke's rendition here from the New Living Translation. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Now remember, there was no air conditioning then. Okay, so he was probably sitting over there to keep cool. Finally, this young man Eutychus, probably in his early to mid 20s. He fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. Wake up. If you do happen to fall asleep, don't fall out of your chair. No one can get hurt today, okay? Hold on to the person sleeping beside you. So verse 10, Paul went down, bent over him, stooped over him, and took him into his arms. Don't worry, Paul said, he's alive. Now we know he fell to his death, and so here is a resurrection. Here is a resurrection from the dead for this young man, Eutychus. Then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. They've been waiting to eat for 6 hours. And Paul continued talking to them till dawn. He spoke another 6 hours. And then he left. A 12-hour sermon. Meanwhile, while Paul was, while they were eating Paul was still talking, he had so much to say, the young man was taken home unhurt. He was okay. And everyone was greatly relieved. Of course they were. This young man, Eutychus, had a chance to hear the gospel from the best preacher in the world at that time. I believe Paul was the absolute best preacher. No one else knew more about the gospel. No one else knew more about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I bet you Eutychus believed, having fallen three stories to his death and then been resurrected and then went home unhurt. Don't you know he believed? I bet a lot of people believed. I wonder what Paul was preaching on for 12 hours. Well, I really don't wonder. I know he'd just come from Rome, and I know what was on his heart, and I know what he preached in every place that he went, and I know what he wrote. I know the epistles that he wrote, even from prison, even in hardship, even in chains. I know what Paul said to the jailer when the jailer in Philippi in Acts 16 was going to kill himself. I know what was on the Apostle Paul's heart and mind. He had determined already, as I told you, to know nothing more. I mean, he was bent on talking about the salvation that comes from knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed, he said. I don't believe he was one bit ashamed of his 12-hour sermon. I don't think he left there apologizing. I don't think he left there saying, I'm sorry I held you so long. You know, I'm sorry you didn't get to go home and sleep less. I don't think he said that. I think he left there with a smile on his face, knowing that he had done his best because he was encountering a group of people that were important to God and therefore important to him, and he did not believe that he would ever get to see them again. And indeed, there's no indication he did. What do you think he told us? Well, I think he told them, actually, what he would tell us if he was standing here today. I'll try to make it less than 12 hours. Okay? Are you ready? I think he would tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think he would tell us the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I think everywhere he went, that's what he shared. That's what he was commissioned to do. And that's what he determined he would do. So, let me share with you this morning, in brief, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, this is the gospel. Everyone has sinned. This is an important foundation to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that everyone has sinned. Everyone is a sinner. You are born a sinner. Let me tell you, being a sinner is a condition and a choice. Sin is both a condition and a choice. Every person is born in sin as a condition of the human experience. Every human being, when the human is born, they are born in sin, born in this world. Every human is born of this world and in this world, and every person is born subject to the laws of sin and death. These are the laws that govern all of creation. The laws of sin and death are the human condition. To be born not a sinner, a human has to be born again. You have to be born again. Once reaching the age of accountability, and let me throw this in here so that I'm very plain, I firmly believe, you can read it in my notes, I firmly believe that there is an age and a stage of accountability which cover children up to the point to God, before God, when they can make their own decision, when they become the person that God says, it's your choice now. Prior to that age, I believe that God covers children. But at that age, it is important to realize that we must be born again in order to deal with sin. Sin separates us from God, both temporarily on this earth and eternally, if not dealt with through the born again experience. Born as a new creation, born as a new creature, no longer under the laws of human nature, no longer under the laws of sin and death, no longer held captive and bound by the human condition called sin. Sin has two basic powers. One is the power to damn your soul to hell. That is dealt with in the born again experience by the blood of Jesus. The second power that sin has is a power to rob you of blessings. Not just a damning power, but a condemning power. You deal with that through prayer to God and asking Him to forgive you of your sins. 1 John 1:9. If you sin, He is, and if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is important that we who have been born again realize that the sin we commit cannot eternally separate us from God. The born again experience takes us out from under the human condition and removes us from the laws of sin and death, and you will never die. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Number one, everyone has sinned. Number two, the result of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible tells us plainly in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, sin demands death. And the gospel which Paul preached and would preach to us today were he here, he would tell us about a perfect sacrifice, that it's the blood of Jesus, because no human could pay the price, because humans were born with a condition called sin, with an impurity called sin that makes our blood unable to pay an eternal price. There was a time in the Old Testament period that God accepted blood of bulls and goats for a temporary, short-term reprieve, but it did not go beyond the grave, and it had to be offered every year because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the damning power of sin. There is no way that I can pay for my sin. The gospel says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son on a cross of Calvary, who spilled His perfect blood for my sins, for your sins forever. I believe Paul spent time telling those people at Troas that everyone must be born again, and that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from sin. There is a free gift, and God wants every person to be saved. Everyone has sinned. The result of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Then number three, this is one of the most beautiful things of the gospel message. So beautiful. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the beauty of the gospel. It does not matter today where you have been, what you have done, without respect, let me say, without respect to where you have been, what you have done, what you have gone through, what you have experienced, without respect, what you have done or what has been done to you, Almighty God will save your soul if you would call upon Him. There are two things needed when you call upon Him. Number one, you must believe that He is. You must believe that He is telling the truth. God will not make a blood covenant with someone who believes He is lying. If you believe God is a liar or you believe God does not exist, you need to recheck, because you're deceiving yourself, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. Don't deceive yourself. Shut those voices out and look into your heart and realize that you really do believe God. You really do believe that Jesus came and lived a sinless life and died an atoning death and gave his blood as a sacrifice for your sin. You believe it. Once you recognize you believe that, then the other thing, number one, we must believe. Number two, we must receive. We must call upon the name of the Lord. That's what Romans says. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you read back up in verse 9, you will find out that the Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The greatest story ever told. The greatest story we could ever tell. This morning I am here to encourage you. Volumes have been written about this salvation offered to us through Jesus Christ. It is a personal salvation, a personal blood covenant. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. If you believe, call upon him. And I believe you believe. And I believe that many of you that I am talking to have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. You have been forgiven of your sins. You have a destiny in eternity in heaven with God and with your family and with the saints that have gone on before. That's wonderful. I am here this morning to tell you the gospel message and to commission you to be like the Apostle Paul. Convicted and commissioned to realize God wants you to shine your light, because there are people that you will meet, people that you will encounter perhaps this week, perhaps this month, perhaps this year. You will encounter people and you will get that sense that you may never see them again. It's imperative that we share the gospel with those that we believe are lost without Christ. When we share the gospel, it does something powerful. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost sinner, it awakens the command of God in their life. Acts 17 and verse 30 says that God has commanded all men everywhere to turn their lives around, to repent, and to give their lives to him, in my paraphrase. God has commanded. There's a command gone out through the earth. There's a command today on your neighbors, on your friends, and on your enemies. There is a command gone out around the world for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved. You can give them that chance. The Apostle Paul also wrote just before he arrived here in this town of Troas. He had just written to the church in Rome. And he wrote to them about this salvation. But then he said, how shall anyone know? How shall they know about this salvation that is available unless someone tells them? And how shall someone tell them if they're not sent? How can they be sent without the church getting behind this effort? That's what he wrote. That's what he meant. I want you to know the church is behind you. And today, I commission every born-again believer and send you into a world that's lost and hurt. Into a world that needs Jesus. Into a world that is more accepting of the gospel than you've ever imagined. They'll listen. You know. But even if they didn't, it would still be a story worth telling. Even if it took you all night. as you go about your daily lives. Tell others about Jesus.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.